In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. So you know that you're getting close to Lent when you start to hear the Gospels of Zacchaeus last week, and the Canaanite woman this week, and closer and closer and closer we get. So today we are greeted by Christ's encounter with this Canaanite woman. Now, the land of Canaan, a long time before, was a land filled with wicked people. These are people who worship not God, but demonic powers. And this is emphasized by this woman's daughter, who is being oppressed by a demon. And because of this demonic, wicked life, the land of Canaan was delivered to Israel to be conquered, and their people were driven out. But this woman, whom Christ met, she had left the ways of her ancestral land and come to believe in the God of Israel. Like the blind man on the road to Jerusalem, who Christ also encountered, the Canaanite woman addresses him as Son of David and Lord, acknowledging that he is the Christ, promised by the God of Israel. And this goes to show that not only should you not judge a book by its cover or a person by their birthplace, it goes further to show that there is hope for all of us who stray from God when we bring ourselves to Christ in faith. During this time, nationality had very little to do with one's ethnic heritage. It was not unimportant, but it had little importance. As we see in the Exodus account of the 10th plague that God visits upon Egypt, and God's promise to spare the firstborn of those who mark their doors with the blood of a lamb, it didn't depend on this town or that town. It wasn't for the Jews only, but any faithful person who followed God's command. We see this also in the Church Fathers with the term the Christian race, or the race of Christians. It's a nationality, an allegiance, not of one's birthplace or country, but an allegiance shown by faithfulness to God. And so the daughter's demonic influence came through ritual participation in the worship of demons, but her mother chose to worship Christ as the true God. And so what do we see in this woman? What example does she give for us? Well, first, as I mentioned before, we see her faith. Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. She acknowledged him as the Christ. And Jesus later heals her daughter, expels the demon, not simply because she had faith, but because she had great faith. So we see the faith of this Canaanite woman. We also see her love, that she comes to Christ out of love for her daughter, as an intercessor. And this is what we do for each other. When we love someone and they're sick, they're struggling, they've lost their job, they're having a difficult time, in our love for them, we pray for them. We ask God's blessing for them, for his mercy and protection. So in addition to her faith and her love, we see also her persistence in these first two items. At first, when she cries out to Jesus, "Have mercy on me," she's met with silence. Christ ignores her. And she continues. And then she's rebuffed because she's not of the house of Israel to whom Jesus was sent. And yet she persists in her faith and love. And finally, she's insulted. She's compared to a dog stealing the children's bread. Ouch. This seems really harsh, that Christ would call this woman who just cares for her daughter a dog. And not just a dog, but a thieving dog. And in this insult, we see yet another quality, her great humility. She accepted this insult. She didn't argue with it. She didn't try to tell Christ, "No, I'm not a dog. How dare you?" She didn't respond in kind, as I know my inclination might be. She accepted it with humility. And one might ask yourself, I know I do, why would Jesus treat her this way? Why would he ignore her? Why would he chastise her? Why would he insult her? Well, we get a clue from St. John Chrysostom. He says, as Christ does in the case of the centurion saying, "I will come and heal him," that we might learn the godly fear of that man, and might not hear him say, "I am not worthy that you should come under my roof." And as he does in the case of her that had the issue of blood, saying, "I perceive that virtue has gone out of me," that he might make her faith manifest. And as in the case of the Samaritan woman, that he might show how not even upon reproof she desists. So also here he would not that so great a virtue in the woman be hid. Not an insult, then, were his words spoken, but in calling forth and revealing the treasure laid up in her. That in all of these cases, when Christ encounters people who ask things of him and he does not respond affirmatively immediately, it's not because of a lack of love for these people. It's not because he's being rude. It's not because he is insulting them, but he is drawing out their faith. He is drawing out their love and making it apparent, manifest to everyone around them and for our sakes, so that we too might emulate those qualities in this woman. Now, while being from Canaan, she demonstrates the persistence that she has in these virtues of faith and love and humility. Even when so many of the house of Israel, to whom Jesus said he was called, failed to do so. Just as Jesus rebuked the scribes and Pharisees, these respected Jewish elders, calling them blind guides and hypocrites because they neglected the weightier matters of the law, the virtues of justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Christ said they preach but do not practice. So just as he rebuked these men, he raises up the Canaanite woman as more of a child of God than those of the house of Israel, because her faith bore more virtuous fruit. You know, we're surrounded, literally, on all of our walls with those people who not only had great faith, but lived their great faith. We have such a great cloud of witnesses that did not have to preach their faith because they lived it. It was apparent through their actions, through how they treated one another and how they treated those who insulted and persecuted them. And even this Canaanite woman who came from a very impious heritage. In his epistle to the Corinthians, the second one, St. Paul tells them, and indeed us, that God calls us to be his people, to be our Father living within us. And whatever corruption there is, whatever evil is around us, we have been called out of it. It requires none of our attention, except perhaps to pray for it. And as with the Canaanite woman, we do better than railing against the horrible things that go on around us. We do better to turn our attention to faithful and humble requests of God. Have mercy on me and on my family. We are called as sons and daughters of God, heirs of his kingdom. How wonderful. And since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit and make holiness perfect in the fear of God. Amen.